السلام عليكم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي يجيبني حين أناديه ويستر علي كل عورة وأنا أعصيه، ويعظم النعمة علي فلا أجازيه. نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إلها واحدا أحدا فردا صمدا قيوما. نؤمن له بالربوبية ونقر له بالعبودية، ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله، أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم في العالمين، إنك حميد مجيد. وصل اللهم وسلم على خلفاء نبيك وأوصيائه وأهل بيته وأحبته. عباد الله، أوصيكم وأوصي نفسي بتقوى الله ولزوم أمره. قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: إنهم فتية آمنوا بربهم وزدناهم هدى. In the previous weeks I discussed ways of raising our children in this society, how to nurture and how to raise a generation that can serve Islam and serves the country and serves the community and the society and their own families. I mentioned two things. One thing is to nurture them and teach them and train them to be open-minded. Open-mindedness is a gift from God. And Islam has to be approached and has to be understood with open-mindedness, with intelligence. Always in the Quran we see God puts faith next to intelligence, next to dhawil albab, those who use, incorporate their intelligence. We cannot understand Islam, we cannot understand this book, the Holy Quran, without using our intelligence and open-mindedness. We have seen those who misunderstood Islam and misinterpreted Islam. We have seen what they did to their communities, to their societies. We have seen the bloodshed in many countries, many Muslim countries, by Muslims, by their neighbors. Look at Libya. Before Libya was Algeria, if you remember back in the 1990s, Algeria. Bloodshed. The killing of the innocents, women, children, at that time, 30 years ago, more than 30 years ago. And then after that, in the rest of the Muslim countries. Why? Because many of those did not approach Islam with openness, with intelligence. They were narrow-minded. So here we have to make sure that we teach our children to be open-minded, to learn. Islam is a twin. These two things are a twin. Islam and intelligence, Islam and ma'rifah and knowledge. So this is number one. And I mentioned something during that speech. I gave an example of a scholar who gave permission to a lady who went to medical school in France. If you remember, in France, many years ago, they banned the hijab. Today, if you want to issue a French passport or a driver license, a lady should remove the hijab. She cannot take a picture with hijab. still exist. This is in Europe, in the heart of democracy and freedom. They consider hijab to be a threat to their diversity, to their society, to the French values and principles. So this lady, she approached the scholar and she said to him, I've been studying medical school for so many years. And if I remove my, and they are asking me to remove the hijab. If I remove my hijab, I'm going to lose my school. And it is not easy. Ask your son. If it doesn't happen to you, you don't know what is happening. Unless it happens to you, to your son and to your daughter. So the alim said, this is as an emergency, not the norm, huh? Emergency. For your case only, you can wear a wig and finish your last school, go to the medical school and graduate. But then you have to go back to hijab. When I said this, many women here, they rejoiced. They said, Alhamdulillah, from tomorrow we're going to wear the wig. No, don't, please, don't be too excited. It does not apply to you. This is an emergency. This is, that was a special situation for a special person, not for all. Because the idea of hijab is a protection. If you want to wear a wig and look even better, then what's the point? So I wanted to make this correction. That was a state of emergency, and that was by one scholar, and you don't have to listen to that scholar. The second thing that we have to teach our children at a young age is to stay away from extremism and radicalism, to open up to others, to listen to others, not to insist on their own views, not to be stubborn. Some Muslims, they understand Islam with stubbornness. They are not rigid, they are not flexible. They are not even willing to listen to other people's ideas and opinions. This is not nice. Even if we are right and correct, we have to allow others to express themselves. We have to listen to them. الَّذِينَ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقَوْلِ. Listen. Maybe you don't accept what they say, but listen to them. Allow them to speak. Don't shut them down. Beside, my friends, there is nowhere in the Quran that we have to convert the entire population of earth into Islam. Who said we have to do that? So, who said this is our responsibility? God says convert yourself to Islam, not others. عليكم أنفسكم لا يضركم من ضل إذا اهتديتم. God is saying to the Muslims at the time of the Prophet, convert yourself to Islam, be a good Muslim. Don't worry about others. If others are not Muslims, this is their problem. لا يضركم. They are not going to hurt you. لا يضركم من ضل. Those who are misguided. إذا اهتديتم. If you are guided, then don't worry about others. Take care of yourself and your family. Who says that we have to impose Islam on others? We don't have to impose Islam on others. But if we act in a nice way, moderate way, in an open way, in a merciful way. I told you a story a few years ago of a man, an American man, white American from the state of Missouri. He came to me, he wanted to convert to Islam. I said to him, what did you read about Islam? He said, nothing. You didn't read anything? No. You didn't open the Quran? No. So why do you want to convert? He said, because my neighbor, a refugee family, my neighbors, they brought me food the first day. They knocked at the door, I opened the door, they have food. So I was shocked. Wow, we are not homeless, we don't need food. So I was offended. I took the food from that boy and I dumped the food in the trash. The following day, they did the same. This time, the boy and his father, who doesn't speak English, they brought me food again. I said to them, what's the problem? I'm not hungry. He said, no. The boy was translating for his father. The boy said, this is the month of Ramadan. And our prophet taught us that when you break your fast, share your meal with your neighbors. So we are sharing our meal with you. You are our neighbor. He said, I was really shocked. People who don't know me, they don't know my name, they don't know about my career, my life, my family, what I do for a living, they are sharing their food with me. He didn't read a book about Islam. He saw Islam, visible Islam. He saw good manners. He saw good akhlaq. He was deeply touched by this move. Imagine a meal that would not cost more than probably $10. But it converted him to Islam. It converted his heart and his mind to Islam. Because of this simple act of goodness and kindness and mercy and humanity, insaniya. Islam is the religion of insaniya. Be human, be nice to others, left and right. Don't ask them about their nationality. Don't even ask them about their religion. I go for a walk in the nearby park. There is a park near our house. So each circle is 1 kilometer, which is 0.6 miles. So I do 3 or 4 circles. I have a friend for the last 4 or 5 years. I don't know his name. He doesn't know my name. He doesn't know about my nationality. He doesn't know about my religion. He knows nothing about me. But we are good friends. We shake hands. We speak. We comment on each other's physical appearance and how he lost weight. He was, you know, he had a huge belly. Now, alhamdulillah, he's skinny. So I always encourage him. I tell him, you are my good friend. We are good friends. We smile. We exchange, you know, beautiful comments. But we don't know each other. We don't know each other's name. Islam is about encouraging people, respecting people, treating people as humans. So this was the second point. No extremism in Islam. Islam is the religion of moderation. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا وَسَطًا وَسَطًا. A moderate nation. The third thing that we must teach our children, that Islam is the religion of rationality. كُلُّ شَيْءٍ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ يُوزَنُ بِمِيزَانِ الْعَقْلِ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. God says to the Prophet, incorporate, ud'u ila sabili rabbik. Reach out to others. Reach out to others. Invite others with what? Bilhikmati. Bilhikma, with wisdom. Not arrogance. Wisdom. Wal maw'idhat al-hasana. Maw'idhat al-hasana. Smile. Be nice. Good words. Positive words. Encouraging words. Inspirational words. These are maw'idhat al-hasana. Two tools. ادعو إلى سبيل ربك بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة. Islam is based on hikmah, on rationality. Islam makes sense. Islam, when Islam says this is right, then it makes sense. When Islam says this is wrong, this is forbidden, it makes sense. It makes sense. Islam is a religion that really makes sense. The ibadat that we do, all the acts of worship, they make sense. Nothing is extra in Islam. Nothing is khurafa, superstition in Islam. Islam is the religion of aql and reason and rationality. And therefore, my friends, we have some hadith in this Islamic tradition that contradicts reason, contradicts aql. These hadith crept in by many people. In the past, they used to take the pen and paper and write down. They ask Fulan, what do you know about the hadith? He tells them a couple of hadith, so they put it down. They ask his neighbor, they ask this, they ask, and they put it in a book, they call it the book of hadith. Sometimes, some of these hadith do not make sense. This is why in Islam, in the seminary, we study something called ilmul hadith, the science of hadith. It's a science. A science that examines the authenticity of the hadith. Does not let the hadith to pass on without dissecting the hadith, analyzing the hadith, seeing whether this hadith contradicts the book or not. If it contradicts the book, we throw it away. Teach your children to use rationality in understanding Islam. Islam is a religion that makes sense. And then, the fourth item, my friends, this is not for the only young generation, but for us too, is that we approach anything in Islam any knowledge in Islam should be approached and should be taken from the authentic source. Do not judge any people, do not judge any person, do not judge any religion, do not judge any idea without making sure that this idea is written in their books. You know how many rumors are about us, the Shias? Go out and ask people, what do you think about Shia? The first thing, we don't pray. The second thing, Ali is the prophet, not Prophet Muhammad. Ali is our prophet. The third thing, that we have a tail in the back. Shias, they have tail. Yeah, some people believe in this. Okay? The fourth, the fifth, the sixth, these are what people know in the street. We have different Quran. We have a hidden Quran. This is not our Quran. We have a special Quran, secret Quran, that we keep it in our homes. This is not our Quran. This is what they say about us. Is this right? So we should not do the same to others. When we discuss with others, we go to their sources, to their authentic sources. We do not survive on rumors. We don't do that. Or gossips. Or non-factual things. We have to look at the book. I have a friend, his name was, he lives in Colorado, not far from here. His name was Umar. And then he changed his name to Ali. He told me. I didn't know about this. He picked me up from the airport. He said, Sayyidna, my real name is Umar, not Ali. I said, then why you made it Ali? He said, because I was studying in Damascus at a religious institution, Al-Ma'had al-Shar'i, in the heart of Damascus. And my friend, who's sitting next to me from Chechnya, he asked the teacher, the professor, he has a PhD, he asked him about the Shias, and the answer of the professor was very outraged when he asked him about Shia. He said to him, don't ask me about Shia, they are non-Muslims. And then he started the barrage of attack on the Shias. They are non-Muslims because this, because that, because they fornicate, they lie, they this, that, they don't believe in God, they don't believe in a prophet, they have another Quran. So he says, I'm a student, I was sitting there. And then the professor, see what the plan of God, how God defends you. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُدَافِعُ عَنِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. He's attacking you, but he's giving you a tip at the same time. And then he said to him, to that student, the Chechen student, he said to him, by the way, the Shia, they live here in Sayyidah Zainab. Their place, their center is Sayyidah Zainab, not far from here. So this, the other student, Umar, he heard this, Sayyidah Zainab, he said, let me go and investigate myself. He says, after the school, I go to Sayyidah Zainab, and I go to the shrine of Sayyidah Zainab. The first thing, I want to look at the book, the Quran, to see how different their Quran from our Quran. Then he says, I open the Quran, Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah Al-Nisa, Al-Imran, from, it's the same. In fact, the Quran is printed in Damascus, the same Quran that we use at the school. So where is the other Quran then? He said, the professor said, they are mushrik, polytheist, because they worship Ali. I went to read the ziyara of Sayyidah Zainab. As-salamu alayki ya binta Rasulullah. As-salamu alayki ya binta Amir al-Mu'mineen. As-salamu alayki ya ukht al-Husn. Where is shirk in this? Where is apostasy in this? This is normal. We also, the Sunnis, we say this. Nothing abnormal. The only thing I realize is that the Shia, they don't, cross their hands when they pray. And by the way, the Maliki tradition, the Sunni Maliki tradition, they drop their hands, like us. And then they use the turba. This is the turba. And I understood why they use the turba. So I went back to my professor the following day. I said, Mawlana, Shaykhana, you are my leader. You are my teacher. You are my mentor. Yesterday when you started attacking the Shias, where's your source? Show me the book. He said, it's not in a book. I hear these stories. Imagine, he hears the stories. He hears these gossips and these rumors. And he's academic. He's a professor. He's teaching at a university. And he passes these rumors to his students. And God says, وَلَا تَقْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ. Never utter if you don't know. Never make sure what you are saying is written somewhere, credible source. Don't use rumors. إِنَّ الظَّنَّ لَا يُغْنِي مِنَ الْحَقِّ شَيْئًا قُلْ هَاتُوا بُرْهَانَكُمْ. When you discuss, when you debate, you have to have it solid somewhere. Don't say, I heard this from fulan and fulan. This is a responsibility. So we have to teach our children. Do not judge others unless you see the book yourself. And not any book, credible book. Don't say, I heard this from my friend and my neighbor. Don't say that. This is a responsibility. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين.